everyone. This is Claudia McNeely, and welcome to A Time to Heal. I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight as we discuss the miracle of bioidentical hormones. Before I introduce my guest tonight, I want to remind everyone to visit my website at www.askclaudia.com to register for our monthly drawing for a free psychic reading or request my free ebook on chakras. There's also lots of articles, newsletters, self-healing techniques, and other information available on the website. And you can learn about all the different types of psychic readings and alternative healings that's available. And with Christmas just around the corner, visit Lightworker Supplies at www.lightworkersupplies.com for crystals, jewelry, and t-shirts for that special someone on your list. And the new Archangel crystal amulets and wands that have been put up are really becoming a fast favorite, so check them out. Let me give in our call-in numbers. In the U.S. and Canada, it's 888-345-3025, and worldwide, it's 740-994-0101. You're welcome to call in with questions or comments. My guest tonight is Dr. Platt, who's the author of The Miracle of Bioidentical Hormones, How I Lost My Fatigue, Hot Flashes, ADHD, ADD, Fibromyalgia, PMS, osteoporosis, weight, sexual dysfunction, anger, migraines, and it goes on. Hi, Dr. Platt. Welcome to the show.
Well, hi there.
Glad to have you. I'm really excited about this show. I will say that your book has changed my life. I'm really excited about this.
Good.
Tell us, what are bioidentical hormones?
Well, you know, bioidentical hormones are the identical hormones that the body produces, and they have a natural base, and because they are the identical hormones that the body produces, the body recognizes them. You know, the way hormones work is that they attach to hormone receptor sites. So because they're identical, it just goes along with the body's own function. And it helps to bring the body back into balance because, you know, hormones control everything in the body, and getting hormones back in balance can be very, you know, productive in terms of getting people well again.
Yes, it can. You mentioned receptor sites. I've had people tell me that if you use too much, like progesterone cream, that it closes down the receptor sites so that they don't work right. What can you tell us about that?
Well, actually, well, women in the menopause, first of all, it's very hard for women to overdose on progesterone. If you look at like blood levels of progesterone, using it like 3 or 4 times a day, the blood level will go up to about 5 or 6 nanograms. When a woman is ovulating and putting out progesterone during her monthly cycles, her blood levels of progesterone will go up to somewhere between 26 and 28 nanograms. And when a woman is pregnant, now her levels go up to about 450 nanograms. So it's very hard to overdose on progesterone when you use it by cream.
Wow. I've had people tell me that if they use too much progesterone, they get sleepy or depressed, and they call that overdosing.
Well, the thing is that you have to ask them if they're taking it orally or taking
cream.
It by cream.
The cream.
When you think, and a lot of women take progesterone orally. And, you know, in a capsule form. And the thing is that when that happens, the progesterone goes straight to the liver, and it converts into a different hormone called pregnenolone. And mm-hmm. And the number one side effect of pregnenolone is fatigue. So I suspect that these women are taking it orally.
Okay. Because the women I've talked to are using the cream, but they might have heard it from somebody that was using the pill. So that... Because
well,
I haven't, you know, I'm using 300 milligrams a day right now, and
right.
I haven't noticed any sleepiness or depression. I feel great. I mean, I started your protocol less than a week ago, and before that, for months, I have been in just really tremendous pain. I have not had a fibromyalgia flare since I started the increased progesterone.
Well, it's not so much the increase in the strength, it's actually the timing of the dosage that you're getting. But there are a lot of different things that can cause fatigue. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why these women are getting tired.
Okay.
I don't know. It could be they're getting the wrong kind of progesterone, even if they're using a cream.
Oh, okay. Okay, because a lot of it is made out of yam, and they call it progesterone, but it's not really progesterone.
Well, the problem with yam, and unfortunately women that are allergic to soy have no other choice, but when you use yam, it's not as consistent, the dosage. I'm not crazy about yam-based progesterone.
Right. So how did you get started working with hormones?
Where does one begin? Well, they were like a confluence of factors that got me involved with hormones. I think perhaps the most overriding thing was my mother's death. She died at the age of 61 of breast cancer. And I was a practicing physician at the time, and, you know, I knew nothing about hormones, or very little, because unfortunately doctors get no training in hormones in medical school.
Right.
And but when she died, I realized that it was a hormone problem, and that's when I, you know, developed my dislike or distaste for estrogen, which is a toxic hormone. And she had been on Premarin, and she had been estrogen dominant her whole life. She had had endometriosis and fibroids and all this kind of stuff. And so it was not surprising that she got breast cancer, especially since they had her on Premarin. And because she had had a hysterectomy, they didn't have her on any progesterone to protect her. So it was then that I realized that hormones, had a big part in her. And then around that time, I realized that I had inherited her hormones. And by that I mean that I had inherited her low progesterone. And because of that, I was always overproducing insulin, and you know, I had problems in school with trying to focus because I was hypoglycemic all the time. And I used to have to slap my face when I was driving, trying to keep my eyes open, and I would fall asleep between 3 and 4 talking to patients. And let me tell you, that was embarrassing. So I realized that I was overproducing insulin because I was low in progesterone, and I started using progesterone, and I never got sleepy anymore. So that was my first introduction into hormones, and and I said to myself, boy, if progesterone is this good, what about the other hormones? So that's when I started looking into hormones.
Okay, so explain what progesterone has to do with insulin.
It has everything to do with it. You know, this is the hormone that controls insulin, and you know, a lot of your listeners probably have experienced getting sleepy between 3 and 4 in the afternoon, or sleepy in a car, or sleepy after eating, and so that's hypoglycemia, it's a low blood sugar. But when you take sugar away from the brain falls asleep, and that's hypoglycemia. And so the thing about progesterone, this is the hormone that controls insulin. Now, 100% of people, by the time they get into their 50s, have no progesterone. And with men, this is noticeable because all of a sudden they start putting on a paunch, you know.
Right.
Okay. And men start getting prostate cancer, which is caused by estrogen, and progesterone is the hormone that, you know, blocks estrogen. So a lot of things start happening once progesterone levels start going down. But the majority of the adult population are overproducing insulin their entire lives because they're low in progesterone their entire lives. And it's probably the most unrecognized hormone and perhaps one of the most important hormones there is, but it's not recognized by the medical profession.
Right. They give everybody estrogen.
Yes, they do, because, you know, unfortunately in medicine that the things get done because it's the way things have always been done, and there's no questioning. Nobody ever looks at these things.
Right.
And, you know, estrogen is a toxic hormone. You know, women get abused by the medical profession, you know.
yes, they do.
You know, they give them birth control pills, which are very toxic to the body, and then when they get into the menopause, they give them estrogen again.
Right.
And, you know, estrogen is a hormone that causes 6 different cancers. It causes strokes and heart attacks. It causes fibroids, endometriosis, gallbladder disease. It causes lupus and rheumatoid arthritis and migraine headaches and asthma. I mean, it's just a toxic hormone.
Right.
And, again, what protects women from this is progesterone, and this is an unknown hormone.
So progesterone protects us from too much estrogen.
Exactly. And
how do we get too much estrogen?
How do we get too much estrogen? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, in a lot of different ways. You know, the incidence of breast cancer in women at the turn of the last century, like in the early 1900s, was 1 in every 94 women got breast cancer. Now it's 1 in every 7.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and the big difference is because of estrogen. You know, it's bad enough that they give women estrogen. But, you know, estrogen is put into cattle, into chicken to fatten them, even though it's illegal to put anything into an animal that can cause cancer if it's going to be used for food consumption. And estrogen is on the list of cancer-causing chemicals. And they give women estrogen, and it's illegal to give anybody a drug that causes cancer. And yet they still give women estrogen. I mean, you know, so women really get abused by the medical profession. It's not a perfect world, I should warn you of this.
Yeah. Are there any women that do need estrogen?
Well, yes. That's a very good question. Before the menopause, no woman needs estrogen. Now, after the menopause, I said before that women never stop making it. And it's because it's made by fat cells primarily, and it's also made by skin cells and the adrenal glands. So women that are very thin can tolerate estrogen. And these are women that I do give estrogen to. I give women estrogen if they have vaginal dryness. But the estrogen that I use is estriol, which is a very safe estrogen. And it's the only one that doesn't cause cancer, but it's the only one that's good for vaginal dryness. And it can only be obtained through what's called a compounding pharmacy. You can't go to your neighborhood pharmacy and get this. And the other time that I use estrogen is for women that are coming off estrogen. And, because they start having severe hot flashes and night sweats. So I'll use it to sort of detoxify women off coming off estrogen. So there are times that I'll use it, but for the most part, I avoid it.
Okay. What's the difference between estrogen and estradiol or whatever it was you said?
Well, there are basically three different types of natural estrogen. You have estradiol, which is the strongest. You have estrone, which is the second strongest, and you have estriol, which is the weakest. But that's the one is usually the primary estrogen that I prescribe. So estradiol is the one that is most closely associated with breast cancer and other kinds of cancers. It's the bad guy on the block.
So what's the difference between natural hormones and synthetic?
Well, again, synthetic are made by drug companies. And the unfortunate thing about synthetic hormones is the body doesn't recognize them. And there are no receptor sites for them. But they do have bioidentical estrogens like estrace, which is bioidentical. But again, it's the strongest estrogen there is. And it can cause as much cancer as a woman's own estrogen can cause. And then you have something called Premarin. Now, Premarin is a natural estrogen, but it's natural for horses. It's not natural for humans. And again, the body has no estrogen receptor sites for it. And again, it is a toxic hormone. So there are ways of giving women estrogen safely. I could put all my patients safely on estrogen if I wanted to, but the thing is that the only necessity for replacing estrogen after the menopause is if a woman is trying to get pregnant, and there are actually relatively few women that are trying to get pregnant when they're in the menopause. And so from that standpoint, it's not necessary. I just try to avoid it where I can.
Yeah. I had a doctor tell me one time that the only reason to give progesterone was to cause the lining of the uterus to come out, and other than that, there was no other use for it.
Well, I have nothing against this doctor. You have to realize that that doctors have no knowledge of hormones, and when I say that they have no knowledge, I'm saying they have none. And gynecologists, there may be gynecologists listening, but I have to tell you, they have the least knowledge of hormones of any doctor. And then you have endocrinologists who specialize in hormones, who know about the synthetic hormones made by drug companies, but will not use natural hormones made by compounding pharmacists. So, for the most part, doctors have zero knowledge of hormones, and yet hormones control everything in the body. And you think maybe this is why a lot of people never get well?
Could be.
Could very well be. It's not a perfect world,
Yeah. Why are they so against the bioidentical hormones?
Well, it's an excellent question. You know, the thing is that doctors are against anything that they don't know.
Right.
Doctors are very much against change. And unfortunately, if we never had change, there would never be any progress. So the thing about bioidentical hormones, because, they've been around for over 70 years. They have been around longer than any other drug on the market right now, and yet doctors will say that there have never been any long-term studies. They have, this has been, they've had more time to observe, you know, natural bioidentical hormones than any other drug on the market. So you can eliminate the fact that they say there are no long-term studies. And then they'll complain about, well, they're not FDA approved. Well, most of these bioidentical hormones are actually made by drug companies like Upjohn and Pfizer. And let me tell you something, anything made by drug companies is under the auspices of the FDA. The FDA is not going to allow them to produce anything if they feel that they shouldn't be produced. So they are, in essence, FDA approved, and they've been around for a long time.
Well, aren't they trying to take away our right to get bioidentical hormones?
Well, the interesting thing is that the drug company that is the strongest against trying to get bioidentical hormones off the market is Wyeth. Now, Wyeth is the one that makes Premarin. And for them to come out and say that these hormones aren't safe, well, let me tell you something. The first 10 years that Premarin was on the market, they estimate upwards of 2 million women came down with cancer of the uterus. And I don't know how many women had died for cancer of the uterus and cancer of the ovary and cancer of the breast because of Premarin. So for them to come out and say that bioidentical hormones aren't safe, and yet there's never been a single instance, as far as I know, of showing that any of these bioidentical hormones cause cancer. So unless they follow Suzanne Summers' advice, and we'll get into that if you want to.
Yeah,
but
we probably need to.
Well, she's not a hormone doctor, but anyway. So these are safe hormones. And yes, you're right. They are trying to get them off the market. But, you know, drug companies try to eliminate anything that is healthy. You know, they're trying to get, supplements, vitamins off the market.
Right.
And believe me, they're trying to get, very strongly they're trying to get vitamins off the market and other kinds of supplements that people take.
Yeah.
Because they feel that anything that a person takes that makes them healthy is a slap in their face. Because they don't want a healthy population. They want to sell drugs to sick people, not to well people.
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about Suzanne Summers, because I know a lot of people have heard about her books, and she was one of the main ones I heard about that had to do with bioidentical hormones when I first started learning about this. Explain what's going on there.
Well, you know, the first book she came out with hormones was called The Sexy Years.
Right.
And in this book, you know, Diane Schwartzbein was her guru up in Santa Barbara, and that was her doctor. And Diane Schwartzbein was the doctor that had her on estrogen to begin with, and she had her on 8 milligrams of estradiol, which is 8 times the usual dose, and she came down with breast cancer. So, you know, she took care of that, and then she went back to the same doctor who, again, put her back on high dosages of estrogen in the form of Viesse, which is now 2 different types of estrogen, and she did not protect her with progesterone. She had her on for 9 days out of the month on an oral progesterone that does nothing to protect women from estrogen. So she came down with uterine bleeding that couldn't stop, so she had to have a hysterectomy. Now, what's ironic is that in neither the case of the breast cancer or the hysterectomy for the uncontrollable bleeding does Suzanne Summers blame estrogen. So what's the message that she's giving to women? You know, she's trying to, you know, say to women that estrogen is safe, come on board. You know, Diane Schwartzbein is a doctor that had said that the only way a woman could be healthy was to have periods. So her goal for her women in the menopause was to get them to have periods again. And so she used incredibly high levels of estrogen. She had women in their 90s that were still bent over every month with cramps and bleeding every month. Now, eventually it got to the point where, you know, Suzanne Summers used to say that you can't get an appointment with her. And so she gave people the impression that this was such a good doctor you couldn't get an appointment. But the truth was that they had taken away her license, and which was you know, a good thing. Trust me on this one. So then in her newer book called Ageless, now she goes to T.S. Wiley, you know, her new guru. Wiley is a doctor. She's a woman that doesn't have a degree in anything. She took a course in anthropology, so she considered herself an anthropologist. So her attitude was, she said that if a female of a species stops having periods, then the pituitary goes into a death spiral, because she says the only reason for the female of a species to exist is to procreate.
Right.
So if she says that the brain thinks you can't procreate, then it'll put you into a death spiral. So she also puts women on incredibly high levels of estrogen. The only difference is that she also uses high levels of progesterone. And she also gets the women to start having their periods again. And so I don't know. I guess they just have a different attitude than I have.
Yeah, because I've been praying for my periods to stop. I'm ready for menopause.
Well, I'll pray along with you.
Thank you. Well, let's take a call, and then we'll get into talking about some of these diseases that you can help with. We've got Lisa from California. Hi, Lisa. What can we do for you?
Well, I am just so happy to have found Dr. Platt. It's like a godsend to hear him talk about the 3 and 4 o'clock lull that he has. All my life I've dealt with these hormone issues. And I've been in perimenopause now and trying to go through this whole maze.
Uh-huh.
And I've had adult acne. And so my kind of an alternative doctor. I mean, she seems like she knows what she's doing. She's read the Suzanne Summers book, but after listening to the doctor, it's apparent that, you know, she's open but doesn't know as much as him. Anyway, the point is she put me on a birth control pill that has spironolactone in it. And what that did was it blocked the testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And I now have, like, arthritis symptoms.
Oh,
as well as as well as brain fog and every other thing. And so it's like what Dr. Platt is saying is so on the money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the pharmaceutical companies, they just want to put you on what they can sell rather than what will help. So anyway, I would like to hear something from Dr. Platt about this this menopausal arthritis that can come on when your testosterone's blocked and when you're also low progesterone, because I'm a low progesterone person.
Well, you know, you mentioned that you're in the perimenopause, so that sort of means
right.
that you still have occasional periods.
Mm-hmm.
And
occasional periods.
What makes it real simple is that there's only one hormone that's amiss in the perimenopause, and that's a low progesterone. So what she's doing is that she puts you on birth control pills, right? And what that does. She's giving you estrogen from the birth control pill, and because it's preventing you from ovulating, so whatever little progesterone you had is now non-existent. So you went from a low level of progesterone to none. And in my book, you know, I have a quote from Voltaire, and can I read it?
Oh, please.
It says, doctors give drugs of which they know little into bodies of which they know less for diseases of which they know nothing at all. You might want to quote that to your physician.
Well, honestly, the whole thing is I've done some research, and I realized that the estrogen has to be in a ratio to the progesterone, and so I was just puzzled as to why there's no talk of adding progesterone, because like I said, I'm one of those women who's not estrogen dominant, which is, like, I guess rare in our society, and so there's just not a category for me. Maybe
well, actually, she made you estrogen dominant when she took away your progesterone, and but the thing is that I'm, you know, you mentioned that you got arthritis. Now, you know, estrogen by itself can cause rheumatoid arthritis. I don't know if you developed actually fibromyalgia, because when she took away your progesterone, you know, you probably started overproducing insulin and would get sleepy in the afternoon. And a lot of people, when they get sleepy, they put out adrenaline to bring up their sugar levels again. And adrenaline is the fight-or-flight hormone. We're going to talk about ADHD later. But she may have put you in a position where you have arthritis of the muscles rather than arthritis of the joint. And the likelihood is that you're low in thyroid, that can also cause arthritic complaints.
I am hypothyroid. Yeah.
Okay, but if you're taking thyroid, I can tell you unequivocally you're on the wrong thyroid, and I can say that with 1,000% assurance. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But unfortunately, you know, doctors have no knowledge of hormones, and that includes the thyroid. And a lot of doctors don't even realize there are 2 different thyroid hormones. And then when they replace the thyroid, they don't look at both hormones, so they never get anybody in balance. And they're always afraid of giving too much thyroid, and yet 100% of adults are thyroid deficient. You know, let me tell you something. It's not hard to treat patients. It really isn't. You know, and in my book, The Miracle of Bioidentical Hormones, I teach patients about hormones, so they don't have to rely on their doctors because they won't get any direction from their doctors. And you know, I'm not saying you need to read it, but I'm just saying that it would give you a tremendous amount of insight as to why you're not well.
And does the book also have the blood test that you can go in and tell the doctor that you need? I mean,
absolutely. We're not going to rely on doctors for anything.
Because it's like, I mean, I think it's paramount that I also get my insulin tested, and I'm also wondering, you know, whether I should have, like, my pregnenolone tested and DHEA and all these rather than just the top three that they normally
have. Pregnenolone you won't need. And the reason for that is that you're going to be on progesterone, and you're going to be on DHEA most likely. And that's what pregnenolone converts directly into. So if you take those different hormones, you don't need pregnenolone. When you use pregnenolone, you have no control where it's going to go. But when you use these other hormones, you do. And the thing about insulin, you know, the problem is that if you said to your doctor, I want to get my insulin tested, he would have you do a fasting blood test.
Yeah.
Because doctors always do fasting blood tests. I mean, have you ever had a blood test where you didn't fast?
No.
Anyway, but the thing is that 100% of the time, a fasting insulin will always be normal. You want to know whether or not your insulin jumps up to like 60 after eating. That'll give you a lot of information. But fasting gives you nothing. You know,
and
30...
what about going in? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
What about having your insulin tested, you know, at the 4 o'clock lull? I've always had the 4 o'clock lull, and so if I go in there and I get the blood draw at 4, will that do something?
Okay, I don't want to bust any of your bubbles, but let me tell you something. If you know that you get sleepy between 3 and 4, you don't need an insulin level. You know you're overproducing insulin. Mm-hmm. But once you get on progesterone, that goes away. You'll never get sleepy again.
And
are you taking any progesterone or anything, Lisa?
No, I'm not. Right now I'm recovering from being on that brief stint of the YAS birth control pills because that just, I mean, for all intents and purposes, it wreaked havoc on my system.
I can't believe
and so I'm
done to women. That is
and
one of the
so
worst
I'm hoping, I'm hoping that, you know, by being off of them for a while, my body can, like, recalibrate a little bit, and then I'll go in and I'll get some baseline blood and then start working with it and try to use Bioidentical instead.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a doctor that will do that?
Well, I've got a doctor who's open, but if Dr. Plath's accepting patients, I will drive to Palm Desert, no problem. I mean,
I'm very easy to get in to see.
Oh, great, because, I mean...
And every day I sit by the door.
Yeah, when I started this call, this is a godsend. I mean, anyone who's gone around the block... And my mother had ovarian cancer, so the last thing I want to do is start pumping pharmaceutical hormones into my body.
If your mother had ovarian cancer, the last thing you want to do is to take away your progesterone, because that's the thing that prevents you from ovarian cancer. And birth control pills do that.
Yeah.
Right. And prior to these ones, I'd never been able to tolerate any birth control pills my whole adult. I'm very horrible.
What that's telling is that your body does not like estrogen.
Right.
Let me tell you, listen, body, it's speaking to you. And
yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. By the way, I didn't want to mislead you. There is a 2-month wait to get in to see me. But we get people started right away. You know, we can do that. And I have another physician. I have another doctor here that's excellent. And so I'm just saying, I didn't want you to think that it was that easy, but we can get you started right away.
And so I could come down and I could get the baseline blood test because that's all I just want to get something baseline with my body that's hormone free because at night when I wake up with the night sweats, I'm so tempted, you know, to use some of the estrogen cream, especially if I've got a big day the next day. And now I'm even wondering if that's right, if I'm supposed to be using the estrogen cream as I work up to day 14.
No, your body only needs progesterone at this point. That's all it needs.
even as it's trying to ovulate, it only needs the progesterone?
Yes.
Okay, and what does the doctor think of the Emeritus progesterone cream? Emerita.
I'm not a big fan of over-the-counter progesterone because most of it is yam-based.
Right.
But there are at least one over-the-counter progesterone that is not yam-based, which I do like.
What's it called?
It's called NatPro, N-A-T-P-R-O.
Okay. And do you have some of that on your website? I mean, is that
Well, we have it in the office here.
Oh, in the office. Okay.
It's bioidentical. It's compounded through a compounding pharmacy. The only difference is it's that it's a lower strength than normally when I prescribe progesterone for women in the menopause, they're getting 100 milligrams. If they're still making progesterone, then they don't need as high a dose. And what this is 33 milligrams. So it's actually the strongest over-the-counter progesterone there is. It's soy-based, and it's compounded through a compounding pharmacy. It is 100% organic. I like it.
Great.
I give this to women that are still ovulating. I give it to men, and I give it to children.
Great. Yeah. I just thought it was so telling because it's like I went on that spironolactone, and it just I had done it topically once, and I
well, they usually spironolactone is used for women that are losing their hair.
Right. This is an off label treatment, for acne because it's like I said, I've been hormone sensitive my whole life, and so I've had the adult acne and. I can't take antibiotics and things like that because I have a system that just does not tolerate medication. And so I tried some of the topical spironolactone and noticed the joint pain from that. And then once I did these birth control pills, it was just like full-on menopausal arthritis. But nobody equates the two. You know, they're like, oh, it's just aging. And it's like, it doesn't come on overnight. Come on. It's got to be connected to these birth control pills.
I get the picture.
So, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Platt.
That's an appointment. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, so let's talk about ADHD. How does hormones affect ADHD? That's a real important thing, I think.
Well, probably the most controversial section of my book or part of my book is the section on ADHD because I'm actually the only doctor in the world that approaches it from a hormone standpoint. And because it's strictly a hormone problem, for the benefit of some of your listeners, what ADHD stands for is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Right.
And a lot of people have heard about hyperactive kids, and so most people are aware of it. And people also have heard the expression ADD, which is attention deficit disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both related, obviously. Now, the thing is that the reason why I say that it's strictly a hormone problem is that what ADHD is basically all about is a lot of adrenaline, which is what gives people not only their energy and just, sort of speedy, but it's also adrenaline is what gives people intelligence. And the other, but it's also associated with too high insulin levels, and it's also associated with a low progesterone. So getting all these hormones in balance can get rid of ADHD in as quickly as 24 hours. And it is not necessary to give kids drugs like Ritalin and Strattera and Adderall, or to give kids antipsychotic drugs, or to give kids antihypertensive drugs, or to give kids antidepressants. And, it's interesting, people hear about Columbine and the sting about in West Virginia, and these kids were on antidepressants. And, side effects of these antidepressants can cause exactly the same behavior that they exhibited when they shot these schools up. And so these are toxic drugs that these kids are getting, and it's not necessary because why they're hyperactive and why they're angry and into drugs and alcohol is because they have too much adrenaline, and adrenaline is what they call the fight-or-flight hormone. And so when people have a lot of adrenaline, they're quick to anger. They've got a short fuse. These are the people that get road rage People can go into bipolar disorders when they have too much adrenaline. They get restless leg syndrome at night, and they're tossing and turning, and they get fibromyalgia. And so, you know, adrenaline is sort of a real toxic hormone. But the reason why they're putting out adrenaline is that this is one of the ways the body uses to bring blood sugar levels back up. When people get sleepy in a car or after eating or between 3 and 4, this is hypoglycemia. This is low blood sugar. And the brain has to have sugar. It can't function without sugar. So the body is always protective. You know, survival is its main concern, and making sure the brain can function is a survival concern. So when people with ADHD, when they get these low blood sugars from too much insulin, the body responds to that by putting out adrenaline. And once you put out adrenaline, it's there all day and all night. So, again, these are the people that can't sleep at night. They're tossing and turning. The mind is going. Their legs are moving all the time. And so it's not obviously a restful sleep. So
Now,
they're putting out, again, adrenaline in response to low blood sugar because they're overproducing insulin. But the reason why they're overproducing insulin is because they're low in progesterone. And if you give a person progesterone cream and they're using it correctly, what happens is it keeps their insulin levels down. They do not get hypoglycemic. The body stops putting out adrenaline, and ADHD is gone in 24 hours. That's all it takes.
Okay. Most of the people you hear about, most of the kids that have ADD or ADHD are boys. So you're giving progesterone cream.
Let me tell you, men and women can have the same amount of ADHD. It may not be as recognizable in women.
Right.
But let me tell you, it's just as common in women as it is in men, or boys as it is in girls. I had two young women in my office today, 17 years, they were both 17, they both had ADHD. And they were both what are called creative type ADHDs. And that's why some people it's not as recognizable because, you have to remember that adrenaline is not only a hormone, but it's a neurotransmitter. And if you take somebody who is right brain, which is creative, and you give them a lot of adrenaline, now you have what are called the creative geniuses because, you know, again, adrenaline is a hormone that makes people intelligent. And so these are the people, you know, these are the Einsteins and the Shakespeares and the Mozarts and the Beethovens and the Leonardo da Vincis. These are all creative ADHD-type people. Every Hollywood movie star is a creative-type ADHD. This is why they're always into drugs and alcohol, because they have so much anger from the adrenaline that they have that they need something to chill out. This is why Lindsay Lohan goes into drug rehab three times this year now. Mel Gibson is always getting in problems with his alcohol, and Alec Baldwin yelling at his daughter. And this is all ADHD, secondary to a lot of adrenaline, and they don't recognize it. You know, Michael Richards, who played Kramer on Seinfeld, he lost his career because he went into a rage up on stage. Again, all related to too much adrenaline. Now, these are not my patients. And, you know, so when I say this, I'm talking in all likelihood.
Right.
But you know what? I'm never wrong. So.
Good. But you give males the same hormones that you do females?
Absolutely, because men and women have the identical hormones. And men have low progesterone levels just like women do. The reason why they never talk about hormones when it comes to ADHD and why they'll never find out about it for many years is because they don't know that boys are, you know, that it, they would never look at progesterone as being a male hormone. So why would they even think of progesterone as a cause of ADHD? It just won't happen. Now, I am the only doctor in the world that approaches ADHD from a hormone standpoint. But again, I'm the only doctor in the world that can get rid of it in 24 hours.
Can you train other doctors? I mean, you know, are there other doctors that are getting interested in this?
You know, let me tell you something. You know, unfortunately, you know, the doctors that have the most control over ADHD are the psychiatrists. And believe me, they do not want to hear about hormones when it comes to ADHD. It will threaten their whole entire approach. And it would have to make them realize that they have been wrong their entire careers. They're not going to accept it. I can tell you this unequivocally. Now, 30 years from now, using progesterone for ADHD will be the standard of medical practice, but it'll take that long. You know, doctors do not want to change. I'm just saying, you know, that but let me tell you something. You know, I have heard from doctors all over the world about my book. And they love it, and they are a lot more accepting because, you know, because they're not what's right. They're not threatened by changes. They're a lot more willing to accept a different approach. And, you know, I've had doctors from Brazil and Indonesia and Israel and Argentina, whatever, who have come to my office, you know, because they just wanted to meet with me because they're so interested in a hormonal approach to different illnesses. But, you know, I love medicine. I really do. It's a passion for me. And getting people well again, you know, it's so rewarding. You know, how often does a doctor say, hear a patient say, you know, in my entire life I've never felt this good. They never hear this. And I hear this all the time. And, you know, and so it's, you know, at least 65% of the adult population, and again, these are my figures, I suspect are ADHD. It's just not recognized. It is such an incredibly important part of our culture, and it's not recognized. You know, the CEOs of every major corporation are ADHD. They use their adrenaline to become type A personalities. They work 14-hour days. They go straight to the top. They have the intelligence from the progesterone. You know, you look at a guy like Bill Gates, you know, who most people know he's never finished college, failed a number of courses. But if you ever watch him being interviewed, he's moving all the time. He's got a lot of adrenaline. And, again, I suspect this. He's not my patient, but, you know, but I observe things. And, you know, so until we recognize the importance of hormones in health, people are unfortunately doomed to never getting better again. And but it is so easy to transform their lives just by getting their hormones back in balance. And I see this all the time, every day. And
it's very
rewarding.
It is. You talk a lot about adrenaline and insulin, so that seems to be the basis to all of this, from what I'm hearing from you.
Well,
so
it's certainly the basis of ADHD. It's not the basis of all hormonal problems, but it's certainly the basis of ADHD.
Okay.
And when you throw a low progesterone into the mix, then you've got it all. But it is so easy to fix. And, you know, the problem is that unless ADHD is recognized, you know, this is why people become bipolar. And this is why people wind up in anger management classes with their road rage. And this is why people wind up with fibromyalgia. And this is why, you know, people have restless leg syndrome. And also ADHD is very commonly associated not only with type 2 diabetes, but also prostate cancer. So all these things are all interrelated and preventable just by getting hormones in balance.
Wow. Interesting.
You know, 90% of my patients come in from out of town. And I have people that, you know, patients that come in not only from all over the country, but all over the world. And
yeah.
The thing is, you know, but the thing is that I'm not well-liked by physicians in my town here, and because I'm a threat to them, and I recognize it.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing I take people off their drugs, because drugs are toxic. You know, the body doesn't recognize them. They're all synthetic. And you know, I get their hormones back in balance. And, you know, it's so easy to get people well again if you just approach it from the standpoint of how the body operates.
Well, you know, the last few days of just increasing my progesterone has made such a difference in me. You know, I can just imagine having a full treatment from you, which I am going to do, what that would do. You know, my son and I are both, we're figuring out how we're going to get there because we're ready to come.
Well, I'll be sitting right by the front door, you know.
Yeah, we are. We're ready.
Okay. But the reason why you felt better, you know, most likely is because we got rid of some of your adrenaline, so you're more relaxed now.
Because I've been taking the progesterone cream before meals. You know, I was told before I was only taking it once a day at night before I went to bed. And you told me to take it before meals so that it helps to level out that insulin.
It keeps, yeah, because every time you eat, you produce insulin. And when you use progesterone before you eat, it keeps your insulin levels down.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing, and it has helped.
Yeah, and
So you have a lack of progesterone and usually excess estrogen. How does it decide whether it's going to turn into fibromyalgia or arthritis or, you know, what is it in your body that decides where it's going to affect you? Because it affects everybody differently.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, and everybody's hormone levels are different. You know, there's no one-size-fits-all, that I can tell you with 1,000% assurance. And the thing is that I get a lot more, information talking to a patient than I do from looking at lab tests. And
right.
And I always wind up treating patients rather than lab tests. Because if you go by how a person feels, now the thing about fibromyalgia, again, most people, not all people, but most people with fibromyalgia, they have problems with anger, and they respond to anger by tensing muscles up, and so when you talk about anger, we talk about adrenaline very often, and adrenaline again, remember the fight or flight hormone. So when people have a lot of adrenaline, they're quick to anger. They've got a short fuse. I mean, they're ready to fight. And sometimes they don't realize they have an anger problem because they internalize it so well. They just don't feel anger. They just immediately put it underneath the surface. And their body responds to this internalization of anger by tensing muscles up. And their muscle becomes so tense that the blood circulation cannot get through the muscles to clear out the lactic acid. So the acid just builds up and causes pain. And at the same time, they're using up a lot of energy just from keeping muscle tense. So this is why they feel tired all the time. And even when they go to sleep at night, their mind is still dealing with things. So they keep the muscle tense, and they wake up with aches and pains and low back pain and pain along the side of the hips, and they keep their teeth clenched at night. And, this is all fibromyalgia. And a lot of this anger can go right into the intestines, and the intestines lock up, and they get severe constipation. And this is what is called irritable bowel syndrome. But it's all part of the same continuum. So when you say, how do you know what's going to happen, everybody's different in terms of they handle stress and anger and this and that, whatever. But it is so easy to treat,
yeah.
to treat the underlying cause.
Well, I know when we talked for just a few minutes the other day, and you just so quickly pinpointed what I was angry about and probably the base cause of my fibromyalgia, and you did it, very gently and kindly, and it wasn't blaming or, it was really, you were very kind in the way you did it. But,
most of my patients, they can get rid of fibromyalgia anywhere from 3 days to about 3 weeks, most of my patients. The people that are not willing to give up anger will never get better, and that's their choice. If they want to hold on to their anger, then I can't get them well again. I had a gal that came in. Her only source of anger was her little five-month-old Papillon. In fact, she brought it into the office because we have a dog-friendly office, and the dog was urinating on her carpet, which made her angry because she's a perfectionist, like all people with fibromyalgia. And she wouldn't sleep with it. In other words, she wasn't a dog person. So I took the dog away from her. We gave it to one of the nurses as she walked out the door. She gave it to her. But she came back 2 days later to bring some of the paraphernalia for the dog, and she said, I cannot tell you how much better I feel. So you just have to look for the source of anger in somebody's life. And if you can't eliminate whatever it is that's causing the anger, then you just learn not to let it bother you.
Yeah. That's hard to do when you have a handicapped child that you're taking care of, and there's a lot of anger involved in that. But, I've learned a lot of techniques over the years for healing anger and different issues, and that's the only thing that has kept me going, because I think I would have ended up in bed a long time ago if I didn't have all these techniques that I could draw on to work on healing myself.
Well, yeah, and being a caretaker, it does create a lot of anger because it affects your life. Your life is basically on hold.
Exactly.
It's a lot of anger. And, But fibromyalgia is just one condition that, there are a lot of conditions that are affected by hormones. Look at diabetics. Again, an easy condition to get rid of, and yet the way they treat it, they actually make diabetes worse. And because, most diabetics, about 90% of them, have diabetes because they're overproducing insulin. And so why is it that they give diabetics medication that stimulates pancreas to make even more insulin? Or why do they give diabetics insulin? Very often they're just winding up being treated with the same hormone that created diabetes in the first place. It doesn't make sense.
Wow.
First thing I do with diabetics, when they walk in here, is that I'll stop their diabetic medication. Because my approach to diabetics is to get rid of it. And it's a very easy condition to get rid of if you treat it correctly.
Really?
So, you know, diabetes, but, and you know, and then cancer, you know, there's no preventive medicine in this country because they won't allow it. And, but again, the body has an amazing capacity for fighting cancer if you allow it to. You know, you take a simple thing like vitamin D. Now, vitamin D is known to prevent 26 different cancers, and it kills cancer cells better than chemotherapy. And it prevents Alzheimer's, and it's the best thing there is for osteoporosis. And it prevents the flu. And it just goes on and on about vitamin D. So why isn't everybody on vitamin D?
Yeah. And when why I treat people to stay out of the sun.
Well, exactly. And if they say if you're in the sun, they say use sunscreen because they really want to make sure you don't get any vitamin D.
Right.
And most adults, they can't convert sunlight into vitamin D anyway. So 100% of adults have a vitamin D deficiency.
Really?
You know, and I put people on 10,000 units of vitamin D, and yet the recommended daily allowance is 200. But I get people a therapeutic dose, you know, the same kind of dose they would get if they could sit out in the sun for 20 minutes, which is 10,000 units. So I don't know where they come up with 200 or 400 units, which is, to me, is a, may as well just throw it in the toilet. It's not doing anything.
Yeah.
But I just take a different approach.
All right.
But I want to get people well.
Let's talk about weight. How do you, because you treat weight loss also. How do you do that?
Well, it's not that I treat weight. I treat people so they get well again. And a lot of my patients are concerned about weight. And again, when you're dealing with weight, you know, what we, again, we're dealing with hormones because hormones control weight. Now, you know, you take something like insulin, which is the number one hormone that creates fat, and this puts on fat around the middle. You have people, a lot of people that are estrogen dominant, you know, they get cramps and PMS, whatever, they're taking estrogen, and estrogen puts on fat around the hips, the thighs, and the buttocks. And then you have almost 100% of people that are low in thyroid, and thyroid controls metabolism. And that, and so people with an underactive thyroid, they put on fat everywhere. So, you know, so if you want, you know, this is why people can go on a weight loss program. They can lose their weight, but 100% of the time will gain weight back again because their hormones are still out of balance. So when it comes to weight, the first thing you want to do is get hormones back in balance. And that's number one. Number two, you want to make sure you're not taking any drugs that are causing weight gain. And most drugs do cause weight gain. So you get rid of the drugs, and then you just teach people how to eat. You know, just plug that right in, and it can, you can convert them very easily into a fat-burning metabolism. So in 3 days, they're burning fat 24 hours a day. And but, you know, you do everything in conjunction. So it's not hard to treat weight problems. You just have to treat it from the standpoint of the body. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they diet, they exercise, and they watch their fat intake, and all three things are wrong. You know?
Right.
You can't lose weight by dieting. You can't lose weight by exercising. And you can't lose weight by cutting out fat. And yet this is the standard approach.
Right. So what you have to work on the thyroid and the hormones.
You know, my little book, you know, the Miracle of Bioidentical Hormones, it goes into everything we're talking about.
Yes, it does, and more.
And the thing is that if doctors were to read this book, and they won't, but if they were, it would teach them how to practice medicine.
Right.
But it's not for doctors. It, you know, it's to give people power because, you know, I mentioned toward the end that there will be a revolution in medicine. And it's not going to be brought about by doctors. It's going to be brought about by patients. They're going to get fed up with the whole medical system, which is not set up to get them well again. And they're going to become aware of this. You know, prescription medications right now are probably the number one cause of death and morbidity in this country.
And
people are eventually going to get fed up with it and say, look, we want a good healthcare system.
Yeah.
And we're sick and tired of having insurance companies tell doctors what's covered. We're sick and tired of having drug companies tell doctors how to practice medicine.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe our country will start getting well again.
I hope so.
Not going to happen in my life.
that's why I do this show. I'm trying to educate people. I want people to be able to control their own health and their own life.
Well, you have your work cut out for you.
Yes, I know. I know. And, you know, I spent 22 years working with my daughter's doctor, so it's been a really interesting journey. It has been.
Yeah, I can understand that. But you've been involved with traditional medicine, which is very frustrating.
Yes. But I've been really lucky because, you know, with my my family doctor, he knew all the weird stuff that I did with Samantha, and he knew that what I did with her is what was helping her, not what he did. And
exactly. And I can appreciate that.
Yes, he's a matter of fact. I plan to get a copy of the book to give to him because I want him to read this book too. He probably won't use it, but I want him to read it. I want him to have the knowledge.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what his feedback is.
Okay, I'll sure let you know. I sure will.
Okay, well, good luck.
Where can people get your book?
Well, it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
They can get it from my office.
Okay.
And that's about it. They can actually get it from any store. Any bookstore can order it for them.
Okay. And it's called The Miracle of Bioidentical Hormones.
Yeah, the second edition. And,
okay.
You know, if they want to go to my website, you know, it's drplatt.com.
Can you spell
and we
that?
We always ship it out to them.
Okay, can you spell your website?
Yeah. Again, drplatt.com. And they might find some interesting things on the website.
And that would be drplatt.com.
Thank you, drplatt, drplatt.com.
Yes.
And
they'll be able to get in touch with you there if they want to make an appointment to come talk to you.
Absolutely.
Get a copy of the book, take it to their doctors. Now, if they're trying to find a doctor in their area that does bioidentical hormones, they would go to a compounding pharmacist?
A compounding pharmacy would direct them to doctors that do bioidentical hormones, but I would still caution them to read my book before they do that because they will not find a doctor that knows how to do it.
Exactly.
I hate to tell you that, but I'm just saying that's the way it is. A lot of these doctors, they go to a weekend seminar in Las Vegas, and they
mm-hmm.
think that they know hormones, and they all do the same thing. 100% of the time, everybody's put on the same hormones, and especially estrogen. And a lot of these doctors also do growth hormone, which I am not a fan of because I think the downside of growth hormone far outweighs the benefits. And so they have to be a little bit careful. But at least if they read my book, and again, I'm not pushing, but I think they'll enjoy it. You know, we had a gal in the office the other day. She read the book four times. She says the best book she's ever read.
Every time I read it, I see something different in it. I read it now, and I get something different out of it every time. But all the information is in here, the tests that need to be done, the amount, the prescription, what the prescription should be, all of that information is in this book. And you can take it to a doctor and say, here, I want you to treat me like this.
Okay, maybe I should read it.
It works, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the doctor that I've been seeing, well, she's a nurse practitioner, she's the one that first told me about fibromyalgia and progesterone cream, but yet she only wanted me taking 25 milligrams a day.
Well,
you know?
But you know what's interesting is that nurse practitioners are very often a lot more open to bioidentical hormones than traditional doctors.
Yeah.
So I give them a lot of credit.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to make sure she gets a copy of this book, too. Yeah.
I'll put you in charge of my marketing.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll definitely be pushing it because this is that's the reason I did this show. This is very important to my heart because I have fibromyalgia. I've been through this. I know what this is like, and I know what a miracle this is. Even though I'm just now starting to actually experience the miracle of it, I know the miracle. You know, it's there. It is there.
Hmm.
And, you know, people need to get the book and read it. They really do.
Well, you know, without your help, you basically have nothing. And very often it's very easy to get people well again.
Yeah.
But, you know, but always people should understand that most of the adult population is ADHD.
Right.
And these are the people, you know, because they have so much anger that they wind up with fibromyalgia. So, you know, and about 80% of my patients are ADHD.
Right.
So, I see a lot of it, and I know how easy it is to get people well again with this.
So call Dr. Platt and get on the hormones and get your hormones balanced out, and call me, and we can work on the anger and the other emotions. Well, we're running out of time. Dr. Platt, I really want to thank you, and we may try to do this again because I know we didn't cover anywhere near what we needed to tonight.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed you being here.
Enjoyed
next week, thank you. Next week, my guest is going to be Dr. Zoltan Rona, and Dr. Rona is a family practitioner in Canada who specializes in preventative medicine and natural therapies. He's also the author of several books, including Fighting Fibromyalgia, and we're going to be discussing the natural treatments for fibromyalgia. You can reach me for a reading or healing session at www.askclaudia.com or visit my online store at www.lightworkersupplies.com. And if you'd like information about advertising on A Time to Heal, contact me through askclaudia.com. I want to thank everyone for listening in. Thank you, Dr. Platt, for being here. I'll see you next Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a wonderful week. Take time to heal. And I'll see you next Monday at this same time.